is a remastered version of Triples and Ecstasy, a production of Holosuite Media. Tune in to our live show every Friday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Boldly go where no one has gone before. Star Trek Online.
Hello and welcome to Triples in Ecstasy episode 114. I'm Midnight Shadow, and with me today are panelists Dr. Trekkie.
Hello, everyone.
We have Woody.
G'day, everyone.
And we have Skipper.
Hello.
So we're broadcasting live on Friday, 25th of April, and we're broadcasting from Star Trek Online, ESD Instance 13, where we're next to the DJ, so come and join us if you would like. Or you can come and join us in our chat room by going to holosuitemedia.com and clicking on the Access tab. So, Season 9 of Star Trek Online has gone live as of Tuesday. So, as we discussed last week, there's quite a lot of stuff coming out. Now, we had the featured episode, Surface Tension. We had some new PvE missions. We've had the new updated Borg Undine story arcs merged and revamped. We've got a new battle zone. We've got a new reputation. We have a brand new Earth space dock. And we have a new kit system. So, so far, what are your general thoughts, Woody, of everything that's come out?
Oh, it's definitely good that we've got some a new feature episode to play, and it's quite a long one, I must admit, and you know, some bit of a revamp with some old feature episodes. Yeah, all in all, it's quite good. It's just the thing with the feature episode there, not the feature episode, but the new reputation is sort of like, it's only going to take some people 6 weeks to complete this again, so it's sort of like. It's you know, same with the Dyson Sphere reputation, where I remember they only like took 6 weeks, and people had that completed before they actually had the final cutscene storyline added to it. So yeah, it's just still that game is still like still too fast for me, my liking.
Okay, what about you, Skipper?
I think the changes are going to be a bit to learn, such as the kit changes and the flying in the liquid space. Is that what that was?
Fluidic space, yeah, because some of the new tech in there is you now have currents like you would in like an ocean. So that does take
like
a
turbulence.
Bit. Turbulence. Yeah, so it can take a bit of getting used to, especially people who sort of they go to fire on something and they sort of almost part. It's a bit like when you're fighting the Borg, you can park in front of a cube and just fire everything, especially if you've got sort of all cannons at the front. Only thing is, you can end up just sort of like sliding past it. It's just like, no, don't move me. And what about you? Sorry, go on.
I was just curious, Woody seems to think it's kind of going to be quick to finish the new reputation. Casual gamers are going to take their time a bit longer because they only do a couple hours a night.
Well, yeah, it's always going to depend on who's on. The thing is, for us, we're on a lot. So we will get through it quickly, and you've always got the people who are on every single day that literally it is going to just take sort of 5-6 weeks to actually get there. But then you're going to have the more casual players who sort of come in just sort of the weekends. They're going to spend an awful much longer getting these reputation systems done than what sort of we will. So yeah, you're always going to have people who just sort of plough through these things. And I suppose for Cryptic, it's them trying to get a medium of sort of something that long-term sort of hardcore players will sort of do to what casual player sort of will sort of progress with, I suppose.
So, yeah, I know some people probably might find it quick, especially if they only got one character. You know, it's going to be a bit of a mixed bag because, you know, people might only have one character. People I know of people who've got, especially the veterans of the game, have got like multiple characters. So, you know, it's going to take some time there. But yeah, it's just I've only got three characters that can do this reputation at the moment, and I'm not going to be exactly rushing it. I'm just going to be doing something with it once every 2 days, roughly, to get it done.
Yeah, I think out of my 20 odd characters, I've got 8 which are max level, but so far I've only done the rep system on 1, mainly because I was waiting for the revamp to sort of come, which they've been talking about for a little while, which is sort of coming season 9. So now I'm going to start working on getting a lot of my other ones sort of caught up. So yeah, it's just the amount of things you had to get for the old reputations, for the amount of alts that I have, it wasn't worth redoing for how much I played with the alts. So yeah, I just left it. So now it's sort of a lot more simplified, and you've just got a certain amount of EC experience and sort of marks to get. It's an awful lot easier for me to say, right, I need to do this much, rather than saying, right, I've got to go find all these hypos for this one and then go and find it for the other one, as well as shields and all the other stuff that you sort of had to get. So yeah, I'm really glad they've sort of done these changes to the rep system personally. So yeah, Dr. Trekkie, what are your thoughts overall on the new content?
Well, I'd focus on the feature episode. It was pretty good. I was really happy with the story. It really just seems like they're really pushing this time, that they have had some money or some interest dumped into this now, because I was really impressed. That was probably one of the better feature episodes I've seen. And the voice talent was great, and I actually liked the story, and I thought it was on par with something you'd see sort of in a genre novel or TV. So it was pretty good, and I liked the ending. It gave you a little bit of hope that maybe this was going to be something much larger than some of the previous seasons. So I thought that was great. As for all the sort of technical things they've added, you know, there'll be a learning curve and whatever. I mean, it's typical game kind of stuff. But for people that may not be invested in minutia, the story itself was compelling. So I'm glad they did it.
Yeah, for any listeners out there, if you haven't yet played the new missions, there will be spoilers in the show, so pause it, go play it, and then come back. But yeah, I think what they did with the new featured episode was absolutely great. And because we already know from sort of Aurea Riviera's Captain Gecko's interview with Priority One that they've already been working on the second expansion, which is coming out next for... must be about a few weeks now. And you just think, because of how sort of the featured episode left off, you've really got to sort of wonder sort of how and where this is sort of going to be going. Yeah, we've got later on in the show sort of how we think the expansion may go. But no, I definitely did like the featured episode. Did you guys actually play the new Borg Undine story arc, the Borg Advance, before you did the featured episode, or did you do that first, or have you not played it?
I was saving the arc for when I try and one of my other characters haven't reached it.
Okay. Has anybody else actually played them yet?
Yeah, I didn't play it. I like Skipper, if I ever do another character, I think I'll use it then. But I thought the featured episode was enough. I didn't need to to do that. I was satisfied.
Oh, well, that's a shame, because I actually did the arc first, and I actually did it on my primary character, because as we sort of mentioned last week's show, they've actually reset the status of each of those episodes. So it's playing for the first time when you do them, so you get all the new rewards as well. And yeah, they are so much better than the old two arcs that were there. And it really connects to what you see in all the sort of the featured episodes that have sort of come out recently with sort of series 8, 8.5 and 9. So it's definitely worth a sort of play. I would strongly recommend it. It was really enjoyable to play. Sort of, yeah, Tuesday evening came in, and yeah, I just came in, did the new series, and then I went and did the new featured episode after doing all them, because I knew it would be related. Now, has anybody actually gone to the battle zone yet?
I have not.
Skipper, did you say you had or hadn't, sorry?
I've gone to the one with the fluid space.
Oh, so you've done some of the PvE missions.
Yeah, I tried that and it didn't go well.
Oh no. Well, the battle zone is the one bit of content I haven't actually done yet. I just haven't had the time. But yeah, I've done each of the new PvE missions myself. This evening, I actually tried the infiltration one, which is the new ground mission. Has anybody tried that? Dr. Trekkie, have you done any of the new PvE missions?
No. I was satisfied enough with the battle in the featured episode. If the space stuff had the turbulence issues that I think I understand what Skipper was mentioning earlier, I don't think I'd be interested in that. But the ground stuff, I don't know. I mean, we talked about that the other week with sort of the evolution of the kits, and I just feel like my ground stuff is so good that it doesn't seem like there's a lot of strategy involved, but maybe you would correct me if you knew of something that I don't.
Well, the new ground mission is, as we sort of discussed before, it's got a lot more sort of, in a way, sort of diplomatic sort of focus on it. Sort of, there's less the shooty going on. So,
style of diplomacy? Was it the style of diplomacy we saw in the feature episode, which I thought was a tad weak?
With this one, you basically go up to people, and in areas of Bajor, you go to an area where someone's being sort of kept for questioning, and you basically highlight, you press F to sort of get some information of what's around you, and then you've basically got to question the person, and they'll give you information, and based on what they've said and what you can see around you, you've got to then decide whether they need to be quarantined because you think they're Undine, or you let them go. Now, on top of that, you've also got every now and then a sort of something will break out, people will start fighting, where you've got to go sort of help out, and then you sort of find the Undine, which is when you then sort of do a little bit of fighting near the end. So there is some combat to it. The people that I did, because I just pugged it, they'd obviously done it before, and yeah, they went racing ahead. Literally, I didn't actually get a chance to do much or read much because they obviously just done it and just sort of were very quick at it. It's just like, huh, what am I doing? So I'd like to give it another try. But yeah, it's different in respects to you haven't just got another target in front of you, you shoot. You've actually got to do reading. There's some storyline to it. So I thought that was good. But yeah, it's just a shame that the people that I was doing it with had obviously done it so many times that, yeah, they were just racing ahead and quickly sort of getting all the other people, so I didn't get a chance to do much.
Well, speaking of storyline, I forgot to mention, when we were just reviewing general stuff from the new season, that I was very happy that my hope from last week was fulfilled, that they actually destroyed the old space dock.
I know.
Before we got the new one.
That was so, so good. It's just like, oh yes. Because the image of ESD being destroyed was sort of leaked out ages ago. So it's just like, when are they going to show this? Surely it's got to be sometimes coming up. And sort of, I was really hoping as well that that would come out this season. And yeah, no, that entire thing was really good. The only thing that I would say about it is, of course, when you do the ground part of that mission, is you're still in the old ESD.
Yeah.
Now, I understand the reasons why, because while they're still even working on ESD, we currently haven't got Club 47. Now, what they've said in the forums is basically they had a priority list. So they worked on all the things they needed for the main functionality of ESD, and things like Club 47, that is just a nice thing to have, they've basically left. So things like that will be added back into ESD, but it's probably not going to be any time sort of in the immediate future, but I would probably say maybe in the next sort of month or two, possibly, that will actually get Club 47 back. And but because they were working on the new ESD, they couldn't put the new ESD into that mission. So what I'm hoping is they'll get ESD finished off so they can then put the new map into ESD. But I can see that providing some sort of challenges for them, because the old ESD for that mission provides a good layout, sort of floor plan wise, whereas you don't really have that with the new ESD layout, so I'm not sure how they would do it. Because anybody who comes into the game, all they'll now see is the new ESD. And it's only when they get to that level 50 mission that they're actually going to see the old layout, which is going to be confusing for them.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I see what you're saying now. Yeah, I mean, you sort of deal with it. I mean, it was weird to me that, and I think this is sort of what you're alluding to, that when I started, before I actually hailed the mission, I went to the new Starbase to walk around. I'm like, well, this is nice. And then I did the mission that blew up the old one. So, yeah, I mean, it's just one of those conventions I think you normally deal with when you play any of these massive games. I also, not to take away from what I thought was an amazing feature episode, I don't know about you guys, but I noticed a lot of glitches. There'd be times where I remember one in particular, one they were going between the ships. I think it was during the space battle, and they showed the Romulan ship, and there was no one sitting in the chair, but she was still talking to me. And there was a couple other things like that I kept seeing. But you know, once again, those are things I think you just deal with in these environments.
Yeah, it's understandable, because I remember doing the mission on the Klingon, and it had the the Enterprise captain. He wasn't fully sitting in his seat. He was like sitting his seat from his chest up or something like that. So it was all like, okay.
I've only done it on my Federation character so far. I've still got to get my Romulan leveled up. I have actually managed to get it from level 20 to level 32 now, so it's slowly getting there. And I want to start a new Klingon. I've got a couple of them which are level 50.
What did you guys think of the voices? I thought that you know, they were really good. I was surprised they had so many voices, and they weren't just sort of standard voices, which I thought was pretty good. I mean, especially the ambassador voices. I was surprised. They did a great job with that.
Yeah, They did keep it very hush-hush, but that, you know, they brought back Worf back into it, and he actually sounded a lot more stronger than what he did in the last voiceover he was part of.
Well, the last voiceover he did remotely, he'd connected up via Skype, I think it was said. So hopefully, maybe his connection was better or something this time round. So hopefully they'd got a sort of better recording because of that, possibly. That's the only thing I could sort of maybe think for that one. But yeah, definitely, it was an awful lot clearer and better.
Yeah, well, I was probably thinking they actually recorded on site instead of recorded by feed this time round or something like that.
Well, you never know, because I think, well, they either have a recording studio in LA or they rent one out. So, yeah, if Michael Dorn was there, yeah, he might have actually gone into the studio and actually recorded it there, which would have given so much better quality than sort of going in by Skype or whatever other program they might use.
Yeah, I can't imagine they would use Skype. After sitting on two-hour Skype calls today, there's no way they would.
I think some of the early recordings, I've heard that Skype was used, which is why they were sort of quite poor. But that's just hearsay from sort of other fleets and things when we've been talking. So how much truth is in there, I'm not quite sure.
Yeah, there's a lot better programs or, you know, voiceover IP style programs out there than Skype, you know, and for a professional level they try and produce, they wouldn't be pin-stuttoned over Skype for the simple fact there. And, you know, because I know it works very well, because I know with the Lord of the Rings, they did most of the recording and stuff like that for the soundtrack over in London, but they pretty much like streamed it to New Zealand, so you know Peter can listen to it from there and whatnot, and so and it, you know, comes through, you know, like if he's in the same studio. So, and I know that that wasn't Skype because it didn't have the Skype little logo on the top right hand corner type of thing. So, you know, there is good programs out there that don't ask me what they're called, but there's better programs out there other than Skype.
Yeah. But no, I definitely thought the voiceovers were really good, and you got lots of sort of mini cut scenes as well. And yeah, I just really enjoyed the storyline. And what I also enjoyed about it was the fact, the length of it. It was longer than what we've had for a lot of the featured episodes. It reminded me more of like the featured episodes we got with, was it the 2800, which were longer. Because they sort of went with the shorter episodes after that. But no, I liked the fact it was longer and you could actually really get into it. What did you think, Woody, about the length of it? Was it just right, long or short?
Oh, it's just right, because, you know, we don't, you know, feature episodes don't last too, you know, long, or, you know, we don't get very many of them. You know, we get drinks break, so at least have something there that, you know, is quite a decent length feature episode with plenty of twists and turns in it. You know, I find it quite good.
What about you, Skipper? How did you feel about the length of the featured episode?
It was all right. Felt like it was, like before, a lot more than lighter, like the earlier stuff. Like, they didn't water it down. It was a good, solid, what we originally had when we first started playing the game, content-wise.
And you, Dr. Trekkie? How do you feel about the length of the episode? Do you think they've got it right now?
I thought it was perfect. I actually preferred this part two to part one. And it did feel like, especially with all the voices, which I keep talking about, that it was really high quality. And they were making an effort to try to either return or excel what they've already done.
Yeah. But no, I was very impressed with it. So, yeah, I sort of came in from work, had something quick to eat, and yeah, basically said hello and goodbye to my wife. It's just like, sorry, season 9's out, I'm playing Stow. yeah, literally went through all the new Borg missions and then the new featured episode, and yeah, just absolutely loved it. Sort of, I didn't even notice the time going by because it was just a lot of fun to sort of follow the entire thing through. So yeah, I was really sort of happy with it. I've still only played it the once, so I'm not sure what random things they have in this second part. Because I know the first part that we got, you got different random items that you could sort of get, sort of like which path you went through and things like that. Have you guys played it more than once?
I have played it between the three characters, and I'm planning to play at least another two times with my three characters, just to get the extra little bit of items that comes with it.
Yeah, because we've got quite a lot of things that we get for the featured episode, because we've got a ground trait called Fluidic Antigens. We have a space trait called Living Hull. You've got kits, so you've got an engineering, a tactical, and a science kit. So depending on which faction that you are, you can grab. And you've also got a multi-conduit energy relay as well, which is part of a set. So yeah, there's the rewards there to sort of replay it. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see on each faction what the random elements are within each of them.
What do you think, or maybe you can just explain a little bit, because we've already given the spoiler warning about what the random elements are, because apart from some of the choices I saw in the ambassador conversations, which didn't seem very deep in terms of the random choices, I didn't notice anything. But I might have went to it through it too fast.
Well, that's the thing that I was actually asking, because I've only played it the once.
Oh, okay.
I was asking if you guys had actually played it more than once, because you may have spotted where something was different. But sort of like Woody said, he'd played it multiple times, but it was on it once each faction. So, but yeah, I'll be interested, because I will be playing it again to get each of the traits and the relay. So I'll be interested to actually find out sort of where they've maybe added some of this random sort of tech in, which they introduced in 8.5 with the last sort of featured episode. Because I liked the fact they'd added that tech in, because it means when you are repeating these things, it's just slightly different. So unlike the first time, where you could see where you would get sort of branches off to sort of like a different path or a different bit of dialogue, I didn't actually notice it this time round.
Yeah, I didn't notice anything that was blatant as the last time, as in terms of randomness. So maybe there isn't any in there.
Yeah, or it might just be that something appears randomly within the map. So it may not be something where you choose, it might just be something that comes in. So yeah, I'm definitely going to be sort of looking out when I replay. So yeah, when I do get time to replay it another few times, I'll sort of let you guys know. But yeah, I'll just want to try and find out sort of maybe if there are any little sort of Easter egg things that may come up.
What did you guys think of that run when you were protecting the Odyssey? I don't know if that was like the Captain's Yacht or a runabout or something that was making that final run to the Planet Killer. Was that an example of Fluidic Space, or was that just some random thing they did with sort of you? I felt like I was on a bobsled or something. You're on that like track and you're just shooting things that are coming down the line.
Oh, you're talking about when we protect the Aquarius.
Oh, the Aquarius. I said Odyssey. Sorry.
Aquarius. Well, it comes from the Odyssey, doesn't it? So
yes,
I knew what you meant. yeah, because there's a time where Captain Sean
launches the Aquarius, because basically we need to shoot the big planet killer in the center. So he's doing a run to basically do it, and we're sort of protecting that ship. So yeah, you can't actually maneuver, because I actually tried going side to side and you just can't move. Right. So I thought that was a bit sort of strange. And
Has that happened before? Because that seemed... It did seem like it was an odd sticking point. I don't know. It was strange, because I was doing it and I'm like, this is pretty lame. I mean, you just go through and you click the ships and they get blown up and suddenly you're like super powerful and it makes its way to the planet killer.
Yeah, it was a little bit weird. And yeah, it sort of happens quite fast, really. So one of the things when I replay it, I'm going to look at is I'm going to pay more attention to that part. But yeah, it was a little bit strange. But whether or not it should actually be, you're not on a track that you're actually supposed to line yourself up to maybe make it a little bit harder, would possibly be nicer. I don't know. I suppose it's a way to just make sure people keep on track so they can complete the mission, because what would happen if somebody didn't? Yeah. It's a little bit harder if they're doing a run on this planet killer for them to stop and wait for you, like when you're on a ground mission, and they'll sort of just hang around and say, yeah, come this way. You can't really do that in that sort of scenario, so I could see why they maybe put it in, but yeah, you're right, it just seemed a bit strange. Skipper, what did you... Do you have any feelings on that?
It was on track. I mean, I did try to veer like a couple of times and it just kept staying, you know, straight like it was supposed to. It drove me crazy a little bit.
It's sort of like understandable, but I find it a bit on the strange side because it sort of like destroyed everything very quickly too. So it was like a bit too easy there.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to pay more attention to it on the replays and sort of try and analyse it a bit more, I suppose. But yeah, that was a sort of a bit of a strange one. What about, what were your thoughts on sort of Lieutenant Commander Egan, the little egghead?
Well, it's clear that they enjoyed destroying Earth Space Dock in not only the building, but the personnel that we have seen for so long. So I thought it was interesting. I'm sure they delighted in that and trying to pick who is going to be the person to be a traitor. So that was a nice twist, and they did a really awesome job in sort of destroying stuff that we had seen for so long and twisting it.
What about you, Woody? Did you like the fact that Egan was the person behind it all?
Well, it don't seem very much in the game. It's like recalling it. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't really see him very much in the game at all. I think he's actually like in the Foundry as an NPC you can use, but other than that, you don't hardly ever see him.
Yeah,
so it's sort of like he'd probably need to have a bit of an early presence in the game. Probably something they need to have a look at.
Well, what happened was he is used in your tutorial for crafting, and basically you pick up a mission through Admiral Quinn of Scientific Mandate, which is then when you head over to Memory Alpha. So he's used there, but as of the new ESD, he is now gone. You won't actually find him there. And I actually, because I'd noticed that, I had actually rolled a new Federation character just to see what happens. And yeah, the only way that you now get the crafting tutorial is if you just head over yourself to Memory Alpha, and when you arrive there, you then pick up a new mission from there. So basically, you pick up a new mission called Research and Development, where you go to see T'Pren, So she's in one of the areas to, I think it was the right-hand side of the map, which then starts you off. So I guess I figured they'd done that because crafting, well, especially these days with all the kits that you get from the reputation system, people don't do crafting much anymore. So I suppose using sort of Egan was, as the Vulcans would say, a logical choice.
Well, wasn't he also in the center of the Earth space dock? He was in that weird bit they added after a few years, like that sort of shortcut. So I think they just picked people, like they picked that Cation guy that was always there, sitting around there as well.
Isn't he the Cation that's actually in the tutorial now that comes up with you in Starfleet Academy?
He might be. I thought he was the guy that sat behind one of those that they look like sort of barker tables that are like, ask us about fleets, you know, things like that.
Yeah, he is, but he was actually posted to Earth Space Dock. So you got your posting to the ship, and I think he might be the one from the tutorial. I'll have to check that out at some point. But yeah, I think he might have actually been the Cation from your sort of mission, which he's now posted at ESD. That's how I sort of got from some of the dialogue that came across anyway.
I was going to also ask you guys if I had missed something. Did they ever use the Zindi before in the game?
Or no.
I thought that was a cool addition.
The first time that I've seen anything to do with like the Enterprise races and the Zindi arc is when it came to Season 7 with Legacy, or sort of Expansion 1 even, Legacy of Romulus, when we had all the Sulabon ships and the Sulabon added.
Right. But this, I had not seen a Zindi, or it like at least had it involved in the story, and I thought that was very cool that they were adding that. That was just a nice drop in there. I also particularly like the smarmy Cardassian ambassador. I thought he was pretty well done.
Yeah, well, we'll get onto this later, but him being in that part of the mission gave me some ideas of what might be coming as part of the second expansion.
Oh, yeah.
So, but yeah, we'll get onto that bit later on. But no, I thought it was nice that we have the Zindi, so hopefully we may even get them as playable races within the game. Because, of course, one of the things that they said they wanted to do was to sort of do more on the Alpha and Beta quadrants, especially for using it within the Foundry. So hopefully that might be part of the expansion later on, or another update where we sort of get things, or just something they may add to the game as a sellable item within the C-Store. So it's just like, you can now play as one of the Zindi, and it will cost you X amount of Zen to play it, because it'll be a nice way for them to make some money. So it may not even be part of a future expansion either. So yeah, we'll just have to sort of see what happens with that, I suppose. Skipper, what about you? How did you feel about it being Egan? Did you like it, dislike it?
The guy in him, a little directional character for a while. Yeah, Egg.
Yeah, because he was only just used for basically that tutorial, because you just had to go fetch a mineral, didn't you? You got given a free sample or something that you had to take to Memory Alpha. It's just...
I think you had to talk to the commander in the middle, or the lieutenant commander in the middle, to get your first Memory Alpha thing completed. And then they sent you around Memory Alpha to craft and so forth.
Yeah, and then you go back to him at the end with an item, I think was the last part of that, if I remember rightly.
Power cell? Was it a power cell?
I think it might have been. So... But yeah, from the looks of things, they've tidied that up. Basically, you don't go anywhere around ESD. You just go straight to Memory Alpha. And when you get there, you have a tutorial. I didn't actually go through the tutorial, so I don't know how it may have improved. But I think it's good they've sort of got rid of that. It means that just people going there will pick it up. And hopefully they'll then work on that when they actually do the crafting revamp, which is something they've said that they'd sort of like to get done at some point. So, yeah, it's good that it doesn't get people sort of going to and from Memory Alpha and take something away from the standard gameplay and the mission arcs. So I think it's good that they've done that. Now, we've only just got the kits. Did you guys pick up the kit rewards at the end of the featured episode at all? Or did you pick one of the other items?
I think I went with one of the traits, because they looked cool. But the kits were interesting, but I'm an old-fashioned with my kit, I guess.
What about you, Skipper?
I went with the control. What was it, a control panel or a conduit thing? The little part.
The multi-conduit energy relay.
Yeah, I went for that. I only played it once so far.
You, Woody? Did you pick up the kit at all?
The ground kits.
Yeah.
Just holding off for a sec because I know there's a healing turret you can get from the new reputation. So I'm just holding off until that's all completed and have a look at it and whatnot, and take it from there or what I'm going to be doing for my kit.
Yeah, and no, I've picked up the new kit.
Also I've only just recently got the new kit from the Dyson the Fleet Spire. So I want to hang on to the news that for a little bit longer before I have to dispose.
Yeah, because of course all the fleet kits have now changed, so they're part of, you've got the frameworks and the modules for each of them. But yeah, I've picked up for my reward the engineering kit, but I haven't actually done anything with it just yet. I want to try and sort out getting some nice parts for it before sort of deciding to change, because I've got a nice fleet kit, like sort of the other guys as well, which sort of has done me well. But it'd be nice to be able to sort of, because a lot of the things that I get with my kit, I don't use. I use like the turrets, and that's about it. So it'd be nice to sort of customize it more, which of course is what the new kit system's now designed for. So yeah, it will be sort of good to sort of finally get time to sort of go through it. And the only thing which I sort of dislike about it is the fact that we don't have loadouts for ground, because of course now we've got all these kits and modules for kits. It's almost going to be like swapping stuff out for ships used to be. It's just going to take so much time that, again, once people have got one that they like, they're not going to do much with it. So I'm hoping in a future update soon they might actually put loadouts onto ground kits, because it'd be so nice to have, right, this loadout, these two weapons, this kit with these modules and these devices, and literally you go to do it and you just sort of swap it all out. And hopefully they'll also extend that to include the traits as well that you have selected. Because I think that'll just be sort of very useful.
Yeah, it's definitely with some people probably a bit of a trial and error and see what the hell they're going to put a kit together. But give it time, it'll be good.
Yeah, well, hopefully you listeners have enjoyed the new missions and the new featured episodes and all the other items that have come out. Please let us know what you think. So you've heard what we think of it. The links will be in the show notes to what's gone live for the sort of dev blogs and sort of things like that. Another thing that's actually come out is the new Undine lockboxes, as well as their ships and the Lobby ships. So I haven't really done anything. All I've done is sort of collect a ton load of luck boxes, which I'm sure they drop more when they first come out. I'm positive of it. But yeah, we've got the new ships are the Nakor Bio Warship, the Dromaeus Bio Cruiser, and I think that's the Lobi one, which will probably be around 800. We then have a Federation, a Klingon, and a Romulan Mirror Universe ship. And then you've got fluidic kit modules, fluidic traits, we've got fluidic anti-proton ground weapons. We have an Undine Biotech battle armour, which people who had a look at the Lobi store, I think, might have been able to actually get it for 50 Lobi for the first day or two, instead of the 200, because I think it was somebody told me it had actually been entered in at the wrong price. So, yeah, there might be some lucky people who got a nice discount on that. You've got the Fluidic Antiproton Wrist Lance, which is dubbed the Mini Planet Killer. That actually looks quite cool, so I might try and get that at some point. And then you've got all the usual sort of bonus pool consumables, which include sort of reputation mark bonus pools as well, which have just been added. And then the usual sort of duty officer packs, reinforcement packs, and carders. So have you guys done much in regards to lockboxes?
Except for collecting some.
What about you, Skipper?
I was just wondering if anyone's seen one of the ships in play yet.
I actually haven't. Usually I've seen lots of people winning them, as always. But yeah, I haven't actually seen any in space, but because I've just been doing sort of the PvE queue stuff, I've tended just to be sitting in one place, really. I haven't actually moved yet. I've just been doing the queued missions, and in between doing some of the Undine stuff, I've been doing some more Kittimer missions, because I've only got sort of like half a dozen more to run to get my accolade of running 100 of those. So yeah, I haven't been flying around much to actually see one, but in the missions that I've been doing, no one's had one.
What about? Yeah, I'm the same here, and I keep seeing people win it, but haven't seen it. That's driving me a little crazy. And to find out if they're better in the fluid space or not.
I think they're supposed to be. I've only sort of glanced over the specs of them so far, but yeah, because I haven't had sort of much in the way of money recently to invest. Deliberately kept away from looking at them, so it's not just like, oh, one.
Yeah, I've had a couple of matches with like Crystalline Entity, and saw those PvE matches where the Saw might have actually had a ship flying around with it, but I haven't really seen it like one-on-one action sort of thing at the moment. But I heard there's some weapons that space weapons that come with this new lockbox, and I can't seem to find the information about it in this current dev blog that talks about the new lockbox. But I've heard that it's from what I've got told, they're bound to be make some adjustments to it, because it doesn't have the damage output like if you get your elite fleet weapons, but it does have some other things where it actually slows your ship down in a way, and it makes it very hard to get away, especially in a PvP situation. So by the sounds of it, that might be getting a bit of a touch-up there. So.
Yeah, I think the module that comes with, I think it was the cruiser, gives the little bubbles that basically get you stuck. I think it might have been the console on there. But yeah, if you combine the actual consoles that you get for both ships, that creates a set thing as a set bonus as well, which helps reduce the power output of the larger weapon that you get on it. So yeah, I will eventually sort of look into it a bit more. As I said, I sort of tend to stay away from it a lot these days because I don't have money to go putting sort of money into sort of master keys. Sort of been using all my dilithium up for sort of the starbase and everything, like a lot of us. But yeah, anyone who wants to find out more about what's coming out in the lockboxes, if you go to the Star Trek Online website, or I should say Ark Games now, and dev blogs 18 and 19 tell you all about it and give you all the sort of stats. So yeah, if you're interested, just head over and have a look there. Now, we've got some events coming up with Star Trek Online. As of the 1st of May, we're going to have another Dilithium weekend. So if it's anything like it was last time, it will be double Dilithium for most of the stuff in game. And that will run until May 5th. Then we'll have a featured series. I think that actually runs for 2 weeks. So yeah, May 16th to May 27th. So that's where if you run the featured episodes, again, you get the very special consoles, old devices. So you've got like the Breen weapon. I think you've got some duty officers. So it allows you to win those rewards. But they also tend to give you some lobby as well. So recently, I think it's been 50 lobby you get for the first one. So yeah, that will be back for the second half of May. And then we'll have another new event, which will be a shuttle weekend. So that will be May 29th to June 2nd. So that will probably be extra rewards for all shuttle content. So, because we've got a few of those missions these days. Now, going back to what we were talking about a little bit earlier, sort of speculation. Now, what's supposed to happen is we're actually going to be getting Expansion 2 coming out. So I don't think it's going to be dubbed Season 10 based on how they've been going with it. But yeah, my thoughts were either we now go into 2410, we actually move into the new year, or it could be a new playable race such as Cardassian, because you know I said earlier we'd got the dialogue with this sort of Cardassian, and it sort of talks about their current union, which is sort of obviously got deals with the Federation, and maybe sort of the Klingons and that as well. So maybe we'll get Cardassians, maybe even as a playable race. We'll actually have storyline content for them as well, like we had with Legacy of Romulus. And then maybe we might get sort of crafting or PvP sort of updates, maybe. Do you guys have any thoughts of what you think may be coming in the second expansion?
Well, none of the things you listed really focus on what I thought we were talking about earlier this year for the Delta Quadrant focus. Because I was thinking if they are going to expand this, I mean, I know Cardassians have been the topic of speculation for a while, but I'm really interested if they move towards some more Delta Quadrant stuff. I mean, you know, we're already seeing Voyager, we're obviously seeing Undine to Extreme. I think there's some races and some storylines that I would like to see from that.
Okay. What about you, Skipper?
Well, if we go into the Cardassian thing, aren't they still citizens of the Dominion? Which is a big chunk of the Deep Space Nine war way back?
No, because the Dominion were overthrown, which was the end of Deep Space Nine. The Dominion signed a treaty that they would go back, but that one founder would sort of stay, which we see that founder in the 2800 episode, if I remember rightly.
Go ahead.
What happened was Cardassia, sort of from what I took from the Cardassian arc, is they went their own way. A lot of them have moved away from Cardassia and settled on new worlds. But the problem a lot of the Cardassians are having are with the True Way, which are the sort of extremists of the Cardassian, who want to sort of go back to the more sort of Cardassian Union old ways, is what I took from the arc that we have at the moment with that. So that ambassador that we saw was part of the Cardassian people. I can't remember what they called the group of them. But yeah. So we would then play as one of them, and maybe like with Legacy of Romulus, you're actually on a world and then something happens where the True Way comes in. So that could be part of the revamp of the Cardassian arc that we have as part of the Federation as well. Because that content's sort of, out of all the other ones that have been updated, is now looking a bit old and tired. But that's just one of the ideas that sort of I had. But I don't think that they're on the Dominion rule.
No, they're pretty much the Dominion War over. They sort of like Dominion went back to the wormhole. But I really would like to see more Cardassians be more independent instead of having a tag along of Dominion, especially with the Jem'Hadar ships. They'd sort of be a bit more independent from that, or a bit more separated from that. And probably with the storyline, they'd probably try to end the True Way side of things with Cardassian storyline.
Yeah. So, Woody, is there anything that you think we might be getting for the second expansion? Do you have any ideas of what might be coming based on sort of the storylines that we've seen so far?
There's plenty of things I wouldn't mind seeing come up, but what I want and what I'm going to get is two different things there. But I'm quite welcome to and open to see if there's a Cardassian faction, a playable faction, come along. I might see some more stuff for the Foundry.
Unfortunately, that's one thing we know that won't be happening. So yeah,
that's what I mean by what I want, what I'm going to get, the two different things.
Yeah.
Put in simple words, I'll be quite happy to play wherever I get. So, as long as it keeps me entertained, basically.
But yeah, and of course, we've still got, of course, the Iconian arc that they could expand on, especially after what we see at the end of the featured episode, where we actually get to see one. There's always that they'll actually continue on with what we've got. But as it's actually an expansion, it sort of makes me think, because we are actually in 2410 as well for the featured episode, that it's either going to be the year has moved on, so they may create an extra instance of the game, so it's or maybe separated out on even maybe a different shard possibly, or maybe what happens is they revamp it slightly, where the missions that you do on all the arcs are actually in sort of 2409, but when you get to all the end game content, that's you in 2410 sort of thing. Or sort of like we had with Legacy of Romulus, it's actually a new playable race, which Cardassians in a way would be the most sort of easiest ones to fit into the game because of the true way. But yeah, I've got lots of sort of ideas sort of running around in my head about what they sort of could do with it. But I suppose we'll just have to wait and see. Well, we have no Stow Foundry Spotlight this week because, well, with the new season, the Foundry is down. So, yeah, it'll probably be a couple of weeks before we can do any more Foundry reviews. But we'll keep you posted of when we'll plan to do that, if anybody has.
And send in any requests you want us to review a mission.
Yep, please do. So we're open to any suggestions. Okay. Is there anything else that people think we should have covered here today?
Unless you quickly want to go through next month's calendar.
Oh, do you mean the events?
Yeah.
Yeah, we'd just done that before the speculation stuff. So we've already said about the Dilithium weekend, the featured series weekend, or featured series weeks, and the shuttle weekend. So those dates have provided. But yeah, if people would like to check out those dates and times, then if you just press J to bring up your journal, there's a calendar button on there and you can load up and have a look at all the dates. So you can find out whether or not you will be around. Okay.
Yes, the Dilithium next weekend is going to be very, very handy.
Oh, yes. Especially if anybody's got any of the packages that they got for the last event. The mirror event, wasn't it? So if anyone's still got any of those, I don't know if whether you open them, you might get some extra Dilithium as well. So that'd be nice, especially as you got a nice big chunk for those. So anyone who didn't collect their reward might get an extra bonus. So unfortunately, one of my characters I did it on, I've already collected the reward on. And the other one, I was shy about 3 days worth of tokens to actually collect. So gonna have to wait for the next mirror event to come around for that one. So, but you never know, some people may get lucky and get an extra boost. Alright then, well, that's it for episode 114, and we will catch you next week. Goodbye, everyone.
Bye.
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 For tuning in to tonight's broadcast of Triples in Ecstasy, a production of Holosuite Media. Join us next week at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and be sure to check holosuitemedia.com and iTunes for our remastered shows and more. You can follow us on Twitter at Triples in XTC. Or if you have any questions or comments, please send an email to thetriplesinecstasy@gmail.com. The only place where Tribbles and Klingons are friends.
Boldly go where no one has gone before. Star Trek Online.